Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We're back, final hour. And let's continue with more phone calls. We have more guests as well. Let's check in with Joe, who is in Tuscaloosa. Hey, Joe.
Hey, sir.
Thank you.
Sorry about that. I lost you for a second. Do you got me?
I sure do.
Okay. Yeah, I'm a practicing attorney in the Tuscaloosa, Jefferson County area for the past 21 years. I find it funny that, and it's always going to happen in the court of public opinion, but I find it funny listening to all your callers about the facts that they have that have been available to the public that they have completely mixed up as far as text messages and things like that. And this is public information as far as the officer's testimony that has been the ire of everyone basically convicting a young man in a tragic situation and not at least having the few facts that we have now in public. They are using their facts, not the facts that are available, to convict this young man. And, you know, being a criminal defense attorney, I don't think that's proper, you know, and of course it's going to play out in the courts, but at least have the facts that are available in line when you call to make an argument. Because calling and saying, well, he said there was a round in the chamber, that wasn't even a text from Brandon Miller. That wasn't something that had anything to do with Brandon Miller. And I just find it's just ludicrous, the things that people will say. But as far as law in the state of Alabama, as far as what we know, what I've seen from what's been put out publicly, from the officer's testimony, from the probable cause hearing to, you know, possible grand jury testimony, it is a fact that they have everything they need. If they wanted to charge Brandon Miller with a crime, they decided not to. That's a fact. That's just what's happening.
Joe, if I could ask you a question, Joe, let me ask you, because you're the only criminal defense attorney we have on the phone here right now. But I think a lot of people are jumping to a conclusion because they could and they didn't. But in your experience, and obviously you have a lot of experience, where are those lines of demarcation when a prosecutor or even the police are trying to make some determination?
Well, the number one thing that the investigators with the police department, the DA's office, everyone's going to look at is going to be the intent, of course, is number one intent. And then you had a caller calling before that said he practiced law, that and he was one of the ones that said, oh, he said there was a round in the chamber. That was never said. But the thing is the intent and what they know at that time, as far as all the testimony that's been given by officers that's publicly available, you know, what we've heard from Brandon Miller's counsel and everyone else, this young man delivered a weapon. He didn't deliver a weapon to commit a murder. He delivered a weapon to his that belonged to his friend that, by the way, was a legal firearm that he was licensed to carry, even though that law has changed recently as the first of the year, this year. But nonetheless, Mr. Miles had a license to carry. And the problem is what you get into is you have to prove in a court to be able to tell a judge or a jury that this young man delivered a weapon that he knew or had a very good understanding that a crime was about to take place. There has been zero evidence that I've seen. Now, there could be others, but if there was more evidence that they were able, because look, I'm going to tell you right now, a prosecutor worth their weight can indict a ham sandwich in any court in the United States. Okay, that's going to be grand jury testimony. He can get it like a, and that is just the God's honest truth. If they had anything on this young man would be charged. And I have a feeling a lot of people, especially some people that are not from this area, have this this total misconception about Tuscaloosa, Tuscaloosa County, Tuscaloosa City, that it's some small podunk town in the middle of nowhere, Alabama. There are some of the finest police officers and investigators, and this is coming from a criminal defense attorney. They are very thorough, and they know what they're doing. You know, this is not Barney's trying to, you know, convict somebody in Mayberry. This is not it. This is a very good police department, a very good DA's office. But you just you've got to meet a threshold, and that threshold is so low to be able to actually just charge someone with even if they charge them accessory after the fact or anything like that. It's going to be that's easy to at least charge him with, and then let the court decide, let a jury decide, let a judge decide. But that threshold is so low, they haven't come anywhere close to that threshold if they didn't charge this young man. And I think that's where we're at right now. But I just wish that more of the people, and you're always going to get tried in the court of public opinion, I just wish that more people would look at the facts that are available now, the testimony from the officer that everybody's going off of, get it straight, who said what, who texted what, before you form an opinion and then blast it all over America on the radio.
Joe, let me ask you this. By the way, I served on a grand jury before I left Alabama, and it was one of the most amazing experiences I've ever had. And what you said is 100% true, and I won't go into the case, but I was like in shock that they were about to indict this guy for a very serious crime. And I started arguing, and suddenly the district attorney very gently reminded me I was not there as his defense counsel. I was a member of the grand jury, but I was in shock of what you said is true. Now, my question to you is this, though. We heard a little bit of testimony the other day. Obviously, for a hearing like that, how much really does the prosecution bring out, or how much are they required to bring out, and how much more do you think they have in their back pocket?
I don't, you know, in this case, I think that the primary goal of the prosecution at this point, after looking at everything initially, that their primary goal right now is to get a capital murder conviction for two young men, or at least one young man in this case. I think that Brandon Miller, there's not enough there. And like I say, that threshold is very low to charge him with a crime.
On Miller, and Joe, I'm asking you for an opinion, but considering, I mean, he is a significant party to all this. What would have been the procedure once all this went down? They obviously arrest the former player and his friend. What would they have done with Brandon Miller in terms of attempting to interview him and obviously interviewing him?
Well, that's exactly what happened. They would have interviewed him as quickly as possible, because you want to do all your interviews in any criminal case as soon as possible. So once they got in contact with him, they would basically make him go over his entire day, or the days before even, in his relationship with Mr. Miles and the other gentleman, and all of that. That would be gone over and over and over and over. It's not a simple question of, you know, hey, did you bring this guy a gun to kill this lady? Well, no. Oh, okay. Well, you're free. That's not how it works. I can guarantee you that Mr. Miller was questioned for quite a long time and made to repeat his story over and over and over again. And then you have to corroborate that with the other witnesses to the crime, or even parties to the crime. So it's a process that takes a while, and he's always subject to being questioned again, of course, and I'm sure he will be, and he's more than likely going to be a witness at some point during a murder trial, but this is not a, I'm just saying it's a
Joe, a final question, and I really appreciate this, but since you are in that domain, obviously everyone's in, help me, I mean, I realize if you're a suspect, you have to be informed of the moment, I think the moment you become a suspect. But in terms of Brandon Miller and counsel, can you explain, since he was not being interviewed as a suspect, I don't believe, what are his rights and what would your guess be in terms of whether he had counsel with him or not?
What would have happened is what I'm guessing would have happened is upon initial contact with the police, they would have told him they're investigating a crime. They could tell him they're investigating a murder if the person wasn't deceased yet, a shooting, whatever. And they have to, at that point, they're going to need to advise him of his rights.
Okay.
Not as a criminal, but, Miranda rights cover a wide variety, but if they think that he is going to be in any part party to this investigation, anytime those police question him, he would have been given his rights and said, hey, you need to talk to an attorney. Now, I'll say something on a personal note on that. If you are party to any investigation with the police, it doesn't make you a criminal. It doesn't make you wrong or right. Talk to an attorney and let an attorney that knows the law talk, but be there with you to not just to represent. You can still talk to the police, but you can talk to the police with an attorney present, or you can decide to just talk to the police. And that's fine. And, you can say something. What people don't realize is if you do not have an attorney, and it's a great thing he's got an attorney right now, especially with the climate. But when somebody recently, it doesn't have anything to do with the case, and that will hurt you in the long run, whether it's in a criminal court or a court of public opinion. But it is an excellent idea for everyone involved in any type of police investigation, criminal investigation, to get an attorney and know your rights. Because not everybody knows that, and that is a very important, and that doesn't, and, it really gets my goat to see people want to basically say somebody's guilty because they've lawyered up, they've got an attorney, okay? That is the smartest thing that you could ever do in any case like this, whether you're guilty, innocent, or indifferent. That is the smartest, absolute smartest thing that anyone could do, is to get representation. And I'll say one more thing, Paul, and I'll get off here and let you go. People were speaking about the attorneys coming out. Attorneys going to put spin on things. I've heard this all day today. Spin, spin, spin. This attorney, that attorney, that attorney. Let me tell you something, what an attorney cannot do. When an attorney talks about testimony that an officer has given in court, whether it be a probable cause hearing, grand jury testimony, anything that he can publicly speak about, he cannot misrepresent that testimony. So if an attorney, whether it's Brandon Miller's attorney or the prosecutor or whoever, if they come out and say this is what the officer testified to, this is what he said, they have to tell you exactly what he said because they're still an officer of the court and they're bound by rules that is a big no-no. You cannot come out and say, oh, well, the officer said this and he didn't say that. So any statements that could get put out by defense attorneys or prosecutors about specific testimony have to be accurate. So.
Joe, many thanks. I appreciate you withstanding my withering cross-examination. We'll take a short break. We have more to come, including a slight change of pace here with our friend Rachel Bachman from The Wall Street Journal.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we saw this headline this week in the Wall Street Journal about a star player at LSU, which is sponsored by Nike, but she has her own shoe deal. How does this work? It's the era of NIL, and we are bringing on Rachel Bogman from the Wall Street Journal to talk about it. Rachel, great to see you again. Thank you, and thanks for changing the mood here a little bit. As you can tell, it's been a rather grim couple of days. How are you?
I'm good, pal. How are you?
We're doing great. I saw this story, I think it was yesterday, and I was like, how can this possibly happen? I'm going to let you tell the story since you did all the reporting in the journal, but it is quite interesting, or maybe we shouldn't be surprised.
Yes, well, you know, this player, her name is Flaje Johnson, and she was pretty famous before she even got to LSU. She's, of course, a great player. She's the third leading scorer for LSU, which is ranked number 5 right now. But she was also a rapper for years and has appeared on the show America's Got Talent. So she has a pretty robust social media following. And before she even got to LSU, she had a deal with Puma. Now, of course, as you mentioned, LSU has its own all-school deal with Nike. And so one of the regulations that she basically agreed to is that she can't wear Pumas on the court or in sort of public appearances where she's associated with LSU. So that's the carve out that she's gotten. But LSU otherwise, you know, was okay with the deal. I spoke with someone there. And she's got this multi-year, quite lucrative sponsorship with Puma.
But as you detailed, there are still ways for her to push the brand. Talk about some of the rather unique ways that she has been able to do that.
Well, one way was, this was of course in partnership with Puma. Last December, I believe, when LSU played Alabama in football, Puma paid to park an ice cream truck across the street from campus, part of the sort of exception because it's not an officially aligned school brand. And she handed out free ice cream to people going by. And, it's quite a stunt, generated some attention. Of course, she put it on her social media channels. She's also rapped about the brand in videos that she's put on her sites. And generated some energy that way. And this is sort of a pattern with Puma. They like to identify with athletes that span different cultures. You know, she's in the rapping and basketball worlds, and they really liked that about her.
Yeah, that Alabama game you mentioned only cost the Crimson Tide a shot at the SEC championship and the national championship. It was a fairly important game in Baton Rouge, as you remember. Let's talk a little bit more about the broad base of women athletes, because this is such a big deal. LSU has a gymnast that is world renowned as well. Just from a broad standpoint, what has NIL meant, especially to women's sports?
Well, especially since so many of the deals are linked to social media, they're very easy to sort of quantify and monetize. So, you know, a brand looking at an athlete to align with can see immediately not only how many people follow that person, but also the interaction, the engagement. And I've read some evidence that female athletes generate more kind of engagement with fans. And I know you mentioned Olivia Dunn. She certainly has a huge following as well. So what these athletes are doing is pulling in people who aren't necessarily closely following a sport, but really identify with or admire this athlete and want to be kind of in their orbit. And, you know, that's something that brands really like. And frankly, they also want to be seen as supporting women because historically, you know, the female athletes have not had NCAA championships until about 1982. And so this is, you know, sort of late to the party in terms of, you know, major college sports. And so brands want to be seen as being progressive and supporting female athletes. But, you know, they're generally aligning with athletes who are very accomplished or have big followings or both. So they're definitely getting something out of it.
Yeah, Rachel, obviously the disparity, the WNBA and the NBA is, I mean, it's not even worth commenting on. It's such a big difference. But in terms of what some of these collegiate athletes are getting, how would it compare, if you know, to some of the other deals that men are getting?
Well, it's difficult to say because sponsors generally guard this information pretty closely. But just to put this in context, so LSU's all-school Nike deal, from what I understand, includes $1 million a year in cash to the school from Nike and about $5 million a year in gear. Flau J. Johnson herself is getting in the low to mid six figures from Puma to sponsor the brand. And keep in mind, she cannot wear the shoe in games. So it's pretty likely she would be worth more to them if she could wear the brand in games. And that would be true for other athletes as well. So that tells you, you know, she's bringing an awful lot of value to the brand. And it also hints at, you know, across women's and men's college sports, what star athletes really are worth, particularly to shoe companies, and how, you know, these all-school deals maybe that were a great deal a few years ago when athletes couldn't make money from their name, image, and likeness are not as good a deal now in the era where star athletes can make their own deals and command huge sums from shoe companies.
It's just so interesting. She's wearing Puma on the court, goes into the locker room and walks out. Wearing Nike on the court, then walks out in Puma. That's just fascinating. Rachel, it's always great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us and giving us a chance to at least change subjects here for a moment. We head to the break with more of your phone calls, the final 30 minutes.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit 1 million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We welcome you back. Final 30 minutes of our program, and Corey is up next in Kentucky. Hello, Corey.
How you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, obviously the hot topic is Brandon Miller from Alabama. He's and the reason is, obviously, he's one of the top five, maybe if not the best player in the nation, right?
Correct.
What I'm calling in is, you know, the thing about it is, I don't understand is, if he gave the gun to somebody, he aided the whatever happened, he aided And if he's not an accomplice...
Well,
it's
Corey, the charge is capital murder. That's what happened.
Right. Well, the thing about it is, I've been in law enforcement for over 12 or 13 years. So the thing about it is he's got to be an accomplice, because there's no way you just hand a gun to somebody and say, here.
Corey, let me jump in here just for a second. The facts as we know them, and you understand that better than I do, the gun was in the back of the car under a coat. It was not his gun, and he, according to his attorney and the athletic director, he was simply driving back to the club. He did not touch the gun. And that's really what we know at this moment in time.
Right. I agree with you, Paul. I understand. He's getting a lot of heat for probably a lot of no reasons. But still, yet, the thing less from murder would be rape. And they live, you know what I'm saying? But the thing about it is this is a capital murder case. So somebody lost their life. A kid's going to grow up not having their
But Corey, I agree with you 100% on that. But there are two people in jail right now facing capital murder charges. And I realize everyone should be and is concerned. But at this moment, the issue is whether Brandon Miller should have been charged. He wasn't. And whether he should be playing. The issue that we're talking about here, we are not the criminal case already is in motion in Tuscaloosa. Legend is up next. Good afternoon, Legend.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call, sir.
Thank you.
Hey, Paul. Not thrilled to say it, but I'm probably know more about this than every attorney you've had on today, because I'm the one man that calls your show that's actually been charged with capital murder in the state of Alabama. I faced capital murder for 18 months in the state of Alabama, facing the electric chair, before I went to trial and was found guilty of murder and received a life sentence with the possibility of parole. So I could answer a few questions that none of these great attorneys seem to be able to answer, Paul. And one of them is, there's a reason why yesterday was the first time we heard from the University of Alabama. And the state of Alabama, in a capital murder case, you're prohibited from even talking about that case until it goes to a preliminary hearing. So if Nate Oates would have got up and included Brandon Miller in any kind of comment in relation to this crime, he would have got a call from the district attorney and been in contempt of court for even talking about a capital murder case until it went to a preliminary hearing. So that's the reason you didn't hear from the University of Alabama to yesterday when this case went to a preliminary hearing. Because they would have been in contempt of court for even mentioning anything in a capital case. And I'll tell you something else, Paul. Let me ask you this. Do you drive?
Yes.
Have you ever went on a road trip where you had two or three journalists in your car with you, maybe even one that you didn't particularly like, on a long road trip? Have you ever been on one of them road trips?
Yes.
Let me ask you this. When one of them, they got out of your car, one of them called and told you, hey, I left my gun in the back seat of your car. Can you bring it to me? What would you have said, Paul? What would you have said?
I would have done that.
Yeah, you know what I would have said? Yeah, I'm going to bring it to you to get it the hell out of my car.
Well, that's probably exactly what I would have said.
Am I wrong?
You're right.
Am I right or am I wrong? Yeah, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to bring it to you to get it the hell out of my car. I know several players at the University of Alabama, and I had the honor to talk to them the last couple of days. And that's exactly what happened, America. Brandon Miller is an innocent man. I apologize to you, Brandon Miller, because I jumped to a conclusion that you had knew there was a round in the chamber. Guess what? That was a lie of the media. And I ain't talking about you, Paul, but you know who I'm talking about. folks that jump to any conclusion to condemn a man like sharks in the water, the least little bit of blood, you know, and I believe this crap, and I apologize, Brandon Miller, because he's an innocent man who, when he got a call from his friend who said, my gun's in the backseat of your car, he said, yeah, I'm going to bring it to you and get it the hell out of my car. Now, why in the world? He didn't have no idea what was going to take place. So are you telling me, Paul, one of them journalists leaves it in the backseat of your car, you roll up to give it to him, and all of a sudden he goes psycho? Are you responsible?
No.
I mean, come on.
No,
this is a,
of course not.
This is a, no, this is an innocent young man, Paul. And I apologize to him for reading the press and jumping to conclusions. I feel for this family. I said the other day how much I feel for this family. This is bad. This is not good on any level. But the man left the gun in the man's car, and the man said, yeah, I'm going to bring it to you to get it the hell out of my car. He never touched the gun. The man never owned the gun. He didn't want nothing to do with a gun. Hell, he could have got shot. His car got hit twice with him in it. Hey, ain't no way he wanted to roll up to that situation. No way at all. The man's an innocent man, and I'm happy for him. I want to say something else, too, Paul. And I believe this right here, brother. Nate Oates is a good man. Let me ask you something. Have you ever stuck your foot in your mouth, Paul? Have you ever done that?
I do it every day.
I know you do, because you got 4 hours, bro. Hey, I don't remember what it was, but I remember you had to go on ESPN and apologize in the last year, didn't you, about something?
I've done it quite a few times, legend.
Yeah, so Nate, no way. Nate Oates is one of the finest men that I've ever had the privilege to meet. He is a Christian man. I'm honored to have him down there. I hate that his family feels that Nate Oates don't care. I don't care what Dick Vitale or anybody else says. They just a bunch of sharks in the media, too. I respect Vitale, love him. But everybody piled on this man, want to make Nate Oates be out some kind of criminal, some kind of leader of a gang. Come on, man. This is a good man that made a mistake that he came back and apologized for. It's time to let it go. Way to win last night, Alabama. I was pulling for you. Brandon Miller is an innocent man, and all these sharks, the media, ought to apologize to him the way I just apologized to him, Paul. And that's the truth, brother. Roll damn tide.
I-Man is up next.
Well, good afternoon, Paul. We are talking about schools, right? Mostly on this program, college sports.
That is correct.
When you say when you say school, what's your first thought? Read, write, and arithmetic? You know, further education? It depends on, you know, elementary, junior high school, college, you know, all those kind of things. And sports was always considered an extracurricular activity. But at the college level of the teams we talk about on here, we're really talking about a multi-million dollar business. Well, first off, I listened to Legend's call, and I've heard a lot of these other people's calls. I don't owe anybody a damn apology. But I tell you what, as a fan, I'm frustrated as hell. And let's just talk about, you know, the last couple of years here in the SEC. I watched a bunch of adults in the back room destroy a coach and his credibility and atmosphere and tried to, you know, tear his character down for the sake of power of controlling the Auburn Tigers. That's pretty close to an accurate statement, isn't it, Paul?
That's what we saw
as a fan. And that's what I am, a fan. And now I'm watching all this stuff at the University of Alabama, and we're seeing a bunch of adults in the back room making decisions, whether they be right or wrong or indifferent, for the sake of a game, a multi-million dollar business. As a fan, I demand an apology from some of these administrations. I mean, this is all entertainment to us. I mean, we go buy T-shirts, hats, we call in on this program. This is entertainment for us. These are our allegiances to our teams. This is not our way of life. I mean, we all go out here and condone ourselves just like the majority of the other people, we're not fighting at the red lights. We're not tearing up the restaurants. We're not tearing and throwing down everything at the grocery stores and going to neighbors' houses and tearing up cars and destroying property. Well, most of us are getting along in this world. We're just human beings, and we're looking for this for as entertainment, as a place to release and relax and enjoy. And I demand an apology from every SEC school in this conference. I mean, the SEC office can only do so much. They're a business with a bunch of franchises that are out there being self-controlled. They do all their own self-reporting and drug testing and all those kind of things. And we see failure after failure after failure constantly. And it's just damn depressing when we see athletes in a multi-million dollar business with coaches and backroom people out there tearing down what we love so much.
I mean, I hate to run. We are way late for a break. We're coming back after this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.